Hello, I'm Chuck Vega, and I'm a clinical professor of family medicine at the University of California at Irvine. I'm also Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion here. And welcome to Critical Issues in Primary Care. Normally, I do the introductions for these presentations, which are focused on timely and important issues related to clinical practice. But today I'm going to break that format because I have a guest who has gone above and beyond in advocating for the role of a solid physical examination as part of the clinical encounter. Dr. Fabrizia Fasanella is an MD-PhD with the title of Associate Professor of Internal Medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine. She has led efforts to teach and evaluate the physical exam for medical students at Baylor and the University of Texas. Fabrizia, can you please share some of your observations regarding physical examination and clinical practice?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Chuck, for the opportunity. Well, I really believe that there is a general consensus that clinical skills, history taking skills, and physical examination skills that progressively and greatly deteriorated during the past 10 years and even longer. Bedside medicine is really in danger, and there is an agreement nowadays that action has to be taken in order to remedy the situation. In the month of December, Medscape in Focus brought attention to this widely debated topic in a series of very interesting articles. Now, the reasons behind the deterioration in clinical skills, and I like to emphasize both, not only the physical examination, but also the history-taking skills, are very complex. And they do represent a challenge to our academic medical institutions. Yes. I'd like to mention a few of the causes responsible for this decline in clinical skills, not necessarily in the order of importance, but first I would like to mention our excessive reliance on testing. I think that is very important. It's a very important factor because it's also strictly connected with a perceived declined value of clinical skills. In other words, why should we spend so much time at bedside trying to diagnose and murmur with a stethoscope when an echo can give us the answer right away? And by the same token, why should we spend so much time on the differential diagnosis of abdominal pain and doing the proper physical exam when a CT, maybe, is going to give us the answer, right? So there is an excessive reliance on tests, which is making everybody lazy. In addition to that, there is excessive time spent at the computer. I am a huge, actually, fan of EMR, but, of course, we do spend a lot of time at the computer. And on the other hand, we spend very little time during rounds at the bedside because the physicians, students, and residents alike, we're all pulled in so many different directions. There are so many different competing agendas. So, these are few, but certainly not the only contributing factor to the widespread phenomenon of declining physical skills. And today I like to present a couple of cases where improper history taking and improper physical examination clearly ended up with some problems. So I'm briefly presenting two cases where improper history taking and inaccurate or absent physical examination obviously leads to some mishaps. Okay. During rounds in one of our hospitals, a case was presented to me as a fever of unknown origin. That was the very last admission of the night. The patient reached the medicine floor at around 5:30 in the morning, and I saw her at 7 o'clock. As I entered, the room was extremely dark, so I approached the patient and I asked permission after introducing myself to turn the lights on. Of course, the patient agreed, and I saw an elderly Hispanic woman, and I asked her in her native language, why did she come to the hospital? What was her problem?
Right.
Without hesitation, the patient told me, my leg is hurting. That's why I came to the emergency room.
Okay.
So, of course, I proceeded with examining the patient. I removed the bed covers. And what I saw were unmistakable physical findings of cellulitis.
Oh, my goodness.
Swollen, tender to palpation. So I was really taken aback. And I asked my resident, why did he think that there was a case of fever of unknown origin? There was a clear source of fever on physical exam. And be ready for the answer. The answer was, well, when we examined the patient, we didn't turn the light on. So,
was there a reason they decided not to turn the light on?
You know, what I was told after the fact, because everybody was very embarrassed, of course, is that, yes, the patient got in the room very late with the very last admission. They
okay.
were all rushing around, trying to get ready for rounds, and they really didn't do a good job.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not even sure if they really tried examining the patient. But this is an example of how so many things went wrong.
Right.
And of course, I wondered what kind of checkout did the resident get from the emergency department. And again, did the student and the resident even ask, why did you come to the hospital?
Right, there's a history issue too.
Right, what's bothering you?
Sure.
So I think that many things went wrong, but thankfully, no harm was done to the patient. The patient did well, so
right.
the delay in diagnosis and treatment, again, did not cause any harm. But I think that this is a very good example of how both history taking and physical examination skills are completely forgotten.
I think that really does illustrate, you know, one thing that that concerns me in clinical care. Of course, the patient experience is absolutely important when they're getting care in whatever setting. So you want them to be comfortable. You want them to be informed. You want to prevent them from, you know, having pain. And you certainly want to prevent, you know, tenderness that you're causing. Or anxiety. You don't want that part of your examination. That said, sometimes it is just critical. And even though it may hurt or be uncomfortable to palpate a leg with cellulitis, you need to understand induration. You need to understand calor and fluctuance. So it's absolutely necessary. Maybe they're asleep. I could see this kind of case where, you know, the patient is tired and just wants to sleep. They might have been examined by 12 other providers during their stay in the emergency department. And so they just want it over with. But you're the admitting team. You have responsibility for care. You've got to turn the light on. And, of course, you do so with empathy. You explain that, I wish I didn't have to do this, but it is important for your care. And I think in retrospect, even though it may be temporarily uncomfortable or it's tender to palpate the leg, I'm sure 99% of patients would think it's better to go through that temporary discomfort personally in order to help the team get the diagnosis right, get the management right on versus potentially, you know, having a tragic outcome, which was avoided in this case, thankfully. What's your other case that you're bringing to the table today?
Yes, it's a case, this is a clinic case. I was in clinic, outpatient clinic, and a 48-year-old male came with complaint of severe chest pain. So even before going into the room to examine the patient, I heard my resident asking the nurse for an ECG. I didn't say anything because I was on the phone with a colleague, so I decided not to intervene. And
okay.
I kind of rolled my eyes up a little bit because the patient should have been first examined, and even prior to that, the history should have been taken, but I decided to let go. Sure enough, the nurse came out of the patient room a few minutes later with a perfectly normal EKG, commenting on that terrible skin rash on the patient's chest wall. So now, of course, all of you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It was a straightforward case of herpes zoster. So ECG was not needed. what was needed was a history and a physical examination.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, thinking about patient experience and comfort, I imagine having ECG leads placed over a zoster rash is terribly I can't imagine. That's like torture. I think what you're seeing here is a focus on sort of automatic algorithms without taking into account other factors. 48 years old certainly could be some type of coronary syndrome, but still pretty rare in that age group. And I do have a problem in my clinic too with kind of the automatic. I've gotten ECGs before I enter the room on 22-year-olds with chest pain, and it's just, you know, costic arthritis, GERD, something like that. But the chief complaint, as stated in most clinics, is a very loose guide to where you're actually going to go in the medical interview and the physical examination too. And yeah, this one could have been taken care of with just a brief examination only and save the patient maybe some discomfort. I also want to just point out one thing, and when we think about comfort of the patient as well, is important to examine the areas that need to be examined that are pertinent. And sometimes that means having the patient wear a gown. I try to avoid my patients wearing gowns. I try to work with their clothing. I don't think it's comfortable to sit in a gown. Some patients find it demeaning or distressing. But, you know, if it's I don't know why everybody with knee pain wears skinny jeans to the clinic, but they do. So I just can't get, if I can't get those jeans up past the mid shin, then you've got to get into a gown so I can, you know, really evaluate your knee and maybe your hip too. In this case, you know, maybe the patient is reticent to take off their shirt. You absolutely have to take off a shirt. And the worst in my practice is, different, providers avoiding either, pelvic examinations, rectal examinations, when they are necessary, they're necessary. And I think it's not just that the patient may be uncomfortable. I understand that. But now the provider is often uncomfortable or rushed or just doesn't want to take the time. And that is, you know, completely inappropriate when you have a clear indication for doing that type of examination. Go where the examination is pointed to by the patient's story. You don't need to, you know, necessarily listen to the lungs in a patient with a complaint of dysfunctional uterine bleeding, but you absolutely need to do at least a bimanual exam to evaluate the pelvic organs. So that your case definitely speaks to things that I've seen and things I certainly try to avoid in my own practice.
You're absolutely right on target. You have said so many really meaningful things, including the need for open communication, right? All we have to do is ask.
Right.
And bring empathy into the conversation, into the interaction. All we have to do is to communicate clearly. And I see how patients actually, in the vast majority of cases, have no problem with being examined, being looked at, and actually they're pretty happy that somebody's truly paying attention. So all you have to do is really ask.
Yes, so I will usually take my history without a chaperone, and then I start by saying, okay, well, now it's time for your well-woman examination. And about 80% of the time, my patients immediately start disrobing in front of me, and I have to tell them, whoa, whoa, that's with the gown, and yeah, hang on, I'm going to come back. But they're ready to go right then. So, yes, I think patients, they understand what's going on. And, you know, they're there for a reason to get the appropriate amount of care. And especially if they have trust, if you establish that connection, if you have that empathy, understanding of the patient, you know, everything goes much further. And I think you'll be able to find the right diagnosis much, much sooner and get a satisfactory plan here. Fabrizio, this was excellent. Thank you very much for your excellent examples and for your continuing commitment to doing the right thing in clinical care.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to conclude by saying that the problem with oversights in history taking and oversights in physical examination is that it might lead to a lot of really negative consequences, such as delayed diagnosis and treatment with harm to the patient. Also, unnecessary testing, escalating medical costs, and so forth. But in addition to that, there is really a loss of the immense value associated with talking and listening to the patient, just as you were saying, taking the appropriate history, performing an accurate physical exam. And this is a value that goes beyond any cost of savings and any other consideration, because this is how the physician establish a rapport of trust with their patient, a relationship that is based not only on transparency and respect, but it's based also and foremost on shared humanity.
So that's a great way to put it. I certainly can't top that. Thank you again, Fabrizia, and thanks to all of you for watching this episode of Critical Issues. Please come back and join us in future episodes as well.